Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the extremely conspicuous consumption department here at Car Talk Plaza.
I mean, we've seen a lot of ridiculous new car accessories over the last few years, have we not?
Oh, sure, like that planter that lets you grow ferns on your dashboard, right?
Yeah, well, here's an accessory that's so out there, so utterly unnecessary, we just couldn't resist sharing it with all of our listeners. And are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is a stick-on.
Uh-huh. Stick-on what?
Sunroof.
Get out!
No. This is for real. We saw it listed on eBay Motors. It's a big piece of some magnetic material that you just stick on the outside of your car to make people think you have a sunroof.
Oh, in other words, it's a decal, right?
Exactly. Now, this kind of advanced sunroof technology is probably confusing to a lot of people. But fortunately, eBay lets prospective buyers ask questions of the seller.
Uh-huh.
And they post both the questions and the answers for everyone to see.
Oh.
And we went through and we pulled out a few of our favorite questions and answers. So why don't you read a few of the questions and I'll give you the answers.
You want me to read the questions?
Yeah. These are the questions that appear on eBay.
Question. What kind of tool would I use for cutting the hole? And will it leak?
Answer. This sunroof is ornamental. It's only a sticker with the shape of a sunroof that you put on your car's roof. You don't make any holes in the car, and you can't see through it.
Okay. Question.
Okay.
So what type of motor does it take, and how do I go about wiring it all up and locating the switch?
Yeah, sure. This sunroof is ornamental. Can you get the idea? It's only a sticker with the shape of a sunroof that you put on your car's roof. You don't make any holes in the car. You can't see through it. You moron. I added that last part myself.
I figured. Okay, question. How does the sun get through the roof?
The sun will not get through the roof because the self-adhesive sunroof is a sticker that gives your car the look of a real sunroof, but you don't make a hole in your car.
Okay, I think I'm getting it. All right, question. My car does not have an anti-lock braking system. I am interested in an ABS light for my dash. I cannot afford, nor am I interested in the actual braking benefits of an ABS system. I am solely interested in tricking people into thinking my car is safer than it is. Do you or are you looking into prototyping this product? It seems like it's up your alley.
Answer. We are working on new ideas. Thank you.
Well, you know, I thought that this would be a great thing to buy if you were about to trade your car into some sleazeball used car deal. Because if you pulled in.
If you pulled in,
and they saw the sunroof, would they bother to look inside to see where the controls were?
They might not.
They would assume, right?
Yeah.
And imagine their chagrin when the new buyer, the new owner comes in and says, yeah, I hate to complain.
but I can't open the sunroof.
Oh, God. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or an idea for a completely unnecessary invention, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Who's this?
This is Susan from Near Bab, Montana.
Near Bab.
Near Bab.
How do you spell that?
B-A-B-B.
Bab.
Bab.
But what's
near,
the place you're from is Bab.
We're not actually in town.
Oh, you're near Bab.
Right. You're in the suburb of Bab.
That's right.
You're in the Bab-burbs.
I got it.
Yeah, Bab is the big city. That's got like the skyscrapers and all that stuff, right?
Well, it's got the general store and the gas station.
Good enough.
So what's up, Susan?
Well, I have a temperature issue in my 2003 Dodge pickup. It started heating up a little bit. The thermostat would rise slightly, given our very short distance that we usually run, about 10 or 15 miles around our immediate area. Mm. And I didn't really pay too much attention to it until it got really bad. And my husband tried to go to town a couple weeks ago, and he went about 15 miles, and it rose to about halfway up the temperature gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And within 5 miles after that, he had to pull over and stop.
Because the needle was all the way up.
The needle was all the way
up at the top, and there was smoke coming out the hood.
Usually that's a good signal.
That's when you want to stop.
Yeah.
So we called the dealership, which is 75 miles away, and he said, well, it sounds like you may have a bad thermostat. It's a really easy fix. Let me send you the part. So he sent the part out, and indeed, it was a very easy fix, no problems whatsoever, but it didn't fix the problem.
Oh. And you did look to make sure that there was enough fluid in the radiator.
Oh, yeah. We rinsed out the radiator and refilled it.
Well, when it first started to do this, did either one of you check to see if there was enough coolant in it then?
Yes.
And there was?
And there was.
And you checked it by taking the radiator cap off and looking in the actual radiator?
No, I looked at the little gauge on the side.
All right, okay. That's good enough. So anyway, you put the thermostat in yourselves or you had someone else do it?
No, we did it ourselves. Well, my husband did it.
Yeah.
It didn't have any problems with it. Everything went fine. It went just the way that the dealership guy told him it would. And indeed, when he took the other part out, it had a hole in it. So I'm guessing it was broken.
How many miles are on this thing?
48,000.
I'm still a little confused about whether or not you have enough fluid in the radiator.
Well, you know, it's got the tank that kind of sits up on the top of the engine.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And we filled that up, like we rinsed everything out.
Yeah.
You know, we let the old fluid drain out. Uh-huh. We rinsed it out with distilled water, and then we plugged it back up and filled it until it's up even with the little line that says cold fill.
Right, and then you ran the engine.
No, she didn't say
then
that.
Then you just drove it.
Yeah.
Oh,
That's why I was suspicious.
No, my brother is absolutely right. I think you don't have enough. Your thermostat may have been bad.
Right.
But now you've made another problem.
Uh-oh.
You did the thermostat job all right, but you didn't purge the air from the system.
Okay.
So what you need to do is you need to run it with the radiator cap off.
Oh, okay.
What you'll find is that the level of water will drop.
As you run it, you need to put antifreeze in it, by the way, and not just water.
Oh, no, we bought, like, coolant.
Coolant, yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that's
coolant.
That's good, okay.
And you probably need a couple of gallons of it.
Oh, okay, we just got one.
You're going to need another one.
Oh, okay.
And you're going to have to run it until you're confident that it is circulated. And the way you're going to know that the coolant is circulated is you have to make sure that the top radiator hose and the bottom radiator hose are both hot.
And you got to be careful because there's also a fan there that will chop your fingers off.
That doesn't sound good.
Someone has to go stick his hand down there just so you can make sure everything's hot.
That sounds like John's job.
That's going to be John's job.
That sounds like your husband's job,
right.
Absolutely.
Because you won't be able to play the auto harp if you lose any fingers.
And then when you find out that it's not full, you'll fill it up.
While the engine's running, you'll add to it, you'll add to it, you'll add to it, until finally you'll actually see it circulating. You'll see the coolant moving, much like a river flows. And then when you're confident that the coolant is in fact circulated, you can put the radiator cap on while the engine's running, and then you can add more coolant to that recovery bottle, that plastic bottle, and fill it up to the point where it says this is where it should be when it's cold.
Okay.
And then you might be done, and then you may notice over a period of days that level will sink down, and you may have to add even more to it. As more air gets purged. But just putting the thermostat in is not enough. You have to run it and purge the air from the system.
Uh-huh.
And I think Tommy's right. He suspected, and so do I, that you don't have enough coolant in it.
Okay.
But by now, you've probably cracked the block.
Oh, don't say that.
No, you haven't.
We really haven't driven it. I have to be honest. We have not driven it much. And because town is so far away, we don't go very far.
Yeah. So let me get this right. Now, when you call the dealer, which was 75 miles away.
Right.
They said, so what do? They have like a buzzard circle your farm and drop the thermostat? I mean, I don't know.
How did they send it to you?
Actually, the UPS guy picked it up for us.
Oh, really? So he delivered it right to your house?
Well, I mean, he comes to the restaurant. He's actually got his name on our menu, so he comes to the restaurant pretty regularly.
So you have a restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? And it's right there in near Babb?
It is near Babb. It's 4 miles from Babb. We're right outside Glacier National Park.
Oh, that's a great spot to be.
Yeah, it's really good.
For about another week until the blizzards start pouring in. But until then, it'll be pretty great, Susan.
It'll be gorgeous.
Yeah, well, live it up. And it won't overheat once the temperature plunges down to minus 20. You'll be all right.
Well, see, that's kind of what I figured. Just wait it out.
Well, you won't have any heat if you don't have enough coolant.
Oh, well, that's no good. Yeah.
So you've got to make sure that you circulate the coolant. And if you're not sure how to do this, you've got to have some mechanic in town, right? No, huh?
Okay. We can drive to town and just stop, you know, every 30 miles and let it cool off.
You could do that, but I think try circulating the stuff first.
Okay, I'll do that.
And get another gallon or so of antifreeze.
I will do that as well.
Good luck.
Thank you so much for your help.
Try not to burn the hash.
Okay, thanks, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 888.
I find it so interesting that she and her husband and all the other people in the ABAB like living there. And if you took me away from all the city stuff, I'd be nuts in a week. A week, a day.
Yeah. You know why? Because you've never learned to appreciate the beauty of nature.
I appreciate the beauty of the city.
Yeah, you like bricks and concrete.
Oh, man.
Trees that are dying. Traffic jams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what could be better than that?
Well, that's why you're good where you are. And the rest of us kind of enjoy, you know.
Wow.
It's interesting that I've tried. God knows I've tried.
You have tried.
To instill in you an appreciation and a love for the beauty and the elegance of Mother Nature. Who took you to Muir Woods?
I was just going to say, all those trips to Muir Woods. How many
what,
times?
One trip I took you once.
I felt like I was
You complained there. Like it was five trips. I took you one time to Muir Woods.
Are you sure?
And you started complaining before the car even moved. We weren't even close to the Golden Gate Bridge, and you always asked us to turn around. You were telling your buddy there was driving, Johnny Mellon, make a U-turn on the bridge. Let's go back. Oh, God. Anyway, 888-CAR-TALK. He almost did make a U-turn on the bridge. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jacob. I'm calling from Utah.
Hey, Jacob. What's happening, man?
I have a 97 Toyota Camry.
Uh-huh.
And I replaced the front brake pads just a little while ago. I did it myself. I had a Haynes manual. Mm-hmm. And
don't they make pantyhose? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. I replaced the brake pads using the Haynes manual, and ever since I replaced the brake pads, when I try to slow down, and I'm going freeway speeds, I have to be going freeway speeds, when I put any pressure on the brakes, the front of the car vibrates. And sometimes even the steering wheel kind of yanks left and right just a little. It vibrates back and forth. That only happens when I'm going fast, and only if I put a little bit of pressure on the brakes.
Ah.
Did I ruin something, or is that normal for new brake pads?
Well, when you did the pads, you did like the book said, you took off the caliper, you put the new pads on, you probably lubricated the slide mechanisms.
Uh-huh, I did.
Okay, and
you did do that.
It's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought so.
A highly motivated monkey could do this, almost. That's why we used to have my brother doing all these bad jobs. Until the monkey started to do a better job, we gave the monkey a raise. But I think what you may have, you didn't do anything wrong, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
I think what you have is a warped disc rotor.
Yeah.
Or maybe two warped disc rotors, and they were probably warped before you did this job.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
But you didn't notice it. And you didn't drive fast enough because you were afraid to drive with worn-out brakes.
Yeah.
Did you go to a parts store to buy these? Did you go to an auto parts store?
I did. I went to Napa to buy the brake pads.
Go back to Napa and buy two front disc rotors.
Okay.
And you're going to put those on, too.
Okay.
And that's going to make the vibration go away.
Yeah.
There is a chance, however, that it's not the front. But you say you can feel it in the steering wheel?
Yeah, the steering wheel actually kind of yanks left and right.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's probably it. There is a small chance that it isn't the brakes, that there's something wrong with the steering mechanism, that you have a bad tie rod end or something like that. So I would go ahead and maybe take it someplace to be on the safe side.
Wouldn't hurt.
And ask them to check the ball joints and the tie rod ends, just to make sure that none of that stuff is worn out. Because if that's worn out, you could have a lot worse stuff going on than a little vibration.
How many miles you got on this thing?
175,000.
Oh.
Well, in Utah...
Doesn't matter.
Well, no. Well, if you go off the road, there's not much to hit, right? No, but in Utah, you've got to have 175,000 in 10 years because things are far apart in Utah.
It is, yes. Uh-huh.
What town do you live in?
Well, I live in Manti, actually, but I'm going to school at the University of Utah up in Salt Lake. So on the weekends, I drive home to Manti, and that's a 2.5-hour drive.
Just to be on the safe side, I would take it someplace, make sure that the steering components are okay. That is the ball joints and the tie rod ends. And if that stuff is all right and you want to do the job yourself, then you can go back to the Napa store, buy yourself two new rotors, and you can spend the weekend doing that job.
Yeah.
See you, Jacob.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. You look like you could use a little break, you know?
Really? I mean, what makes you say that?
I don't know. I guess call it just brotherly intuition.
Boy, that's good.
Well, that and the fact that you've got your hand on the door, a cigar in your mouth, and roller skates on your feet.
We'll be back with a cautionary tale about reusing cars and lots more of your phone calls.
So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a minute.
Step on the gas, you'll go somewhere. It's been designed to take you there. Just as important as where you go. This how you get there, don't you know? Always signal changing lanes. Put the top up when it rains. It's not a quick, fast, or far. It's the journey, not the car. Porsche, Mercedes, Benz, and Ford, Mazda, Rambler, Rolls, Accord, Nova, Chrysler, Jeep, Capri, Lamborghini, SUV, Corvair, Kia, and Peugeot, Chevy, Stingray, GTO, Volvo, Saturn, Saab, MG, Volkswagen, Bus, and Model T, Toyota, Plymouth, Pontiac, Crown Vic, Civic, Cadillac, Mitsubishi, Mercury, Yugo, Jag, Infiniti, Lincoln, BMW, Humvee, and Miata, too, Ferrari, Firebird, Fiat, and don't forget the old Dodge Dart. Any one of these can get you far, but remember, it's just a car.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new combination car wash water park. Fun for the whole family. Not responsible for ruined leather upholstery, shorted out wiring, or mold colonies. From NPR, NPR member stations, and
Travelocity, offering tools and information to plan travel worldwide. Support available 24/7, so you'll never roam alone. Travelocity.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness. And this reminder, not to drive like my brother.
Or like my brother.
More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
And even though world health officials go on high alert for foot-in-mouth disease whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and auto repurposing.
Yeah, this came from somebody named Hoppy Hopkins, who writes, a long, long time ago, a friend of mine had a Lincoln that was a bit long of tooth. One day, the transmission died, and since the cost of repairs far exceeded the value of the car, my friend had it towed behind his barn, where it then sat neglected.
Oh, gee, too bad you weren't in the neighborhood. You could have taken it off his hands. Sounds like just the kind of car you'd want.
It's perfect. All right. Then my friend got a brainstorm. The motor ran fine and everything else worked. Why not use the Lincoln for a deer blind?
Mm.
So one early morning, he towed it out in the pasture, put it up on blocks, removed the steering wheel to get it out of the way, and filled the tank. He settled into the leather seat, set his coffee on the console, and turned the key. The Lincoln responded and smoothly idled, while the defroster started to work on the windshield. With the frost melted and the windshield wiped clean, he switched from defrost to heat and pleasantly sipped his coffee. Huh? Mm-hmm. Then he heard it, an unmistakable, heart-stopping noise. The buzz of a disgruntled rattlesnake. A rattlesnake. Not just one. It was a chorus of a dozen or more rattlesnakes. They had snuggled in under the front seat to hibernate for the winter, and the heater had thawed them out. My friend opened the sunroof and bailed out. He hit the ground running and didn't even venture back to investigate until the car had run out of gas and everything had frozen again. That could scare the heck out of you.
Well, so much for that brilliant idea. I guess you never think about snakes, right?
No, well, you should.
I guess you should if you live in that part of the country. Hey, you may have noticed that there's no puzzler answer this week because the puzzler is still on vacation.
Yeah, so, I mean, when's he coming back anyway? I mean, what's up?
The Puzzler, like a fine wine, must not be rushed. It will return when it's good and ready.
Fine. In that case, you're getting more stories about rattlesnake-infested Lincolns.
Uncle! Okay. The puzzle will be back very soon. In the meantime, you can check out this week's archival puzzler on our website, cartalk.com.
If you have a question about your car, you can call us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Rory, and I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Like R-O-R-Y?
Yes.
Yeah? That's an unusual name for a woman, I guess. Maybe not.
It is. No, I've lived with that burden my entire life. But I'm okay with it now. When you're a grown-up, it's okay to have an unusual name.
Sure, yeah.
All right. Well,
actually, I like it.
Well, thanks.
Anyway,
what's up?
What's going on?
Okay, well, I have a little problem, which is I have a car that I love, and I've had it for 8 years. It's a 99 Mazda Protege. And I recently got married, and so now I have to take care of my car. Because now it's our car.
You didn't have to take care of it before?
Well, it's not that I didn't have to. It's just that I never did. It now has 100,000 miles on it, and, you know, I just got it tuned up for the first time.
Okay, got
it.
All right, I'm there. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Okay, so my problem is that when I go to start the car, this has happened a couple of times, you go to turn it on, and instead of starting, it makes that noise like as if you're turning your car on for the second time. So, you know, if your car's already on and you go to turn it on again, it makes that like
gnashing of teeth.
Yeah,
it really hurts the ears. So
and
it does
is
that,
gnashing of teeth.
So it does that before I've ever turned the car on.
Uh-huh.
Right. And how many times will it do that before the car actually starts?
To me, it does it once. You know, I stopped right away and turned it off, waited a second, turned it back on. I think for my husband it happened twice, and then the car turned right on.
Oh, so it doesn't happen every time you try to start the car.
No, it's only happened a couple times, but it's happened a couple times in the past, you know, month and a half.
Yeah. Well, there are various approaches to this.
During this time, has he driven the car very much?
He's driven it some, not a ton.
Huh.
Why, do you think he's purposely trying to...
No. I don't think he's... One of the things that caused... What you have... Let's get there first, and then we'll figure out who did it.
Okay.
And if it just happened. What you have is you have some chewed-up teeth on the flywheel. The flywheel is this big gear that probably has, I don't know, 50 or 60 teeth on it. That I imagine this is an automatic transmission car?
No, it's a manual transmission.
Okay, there's a gear called the ring gear attached to the flywheel, and that gear gets meshed with another gear on the starter motor. So when you turn the key to start the engine, the starter motor gear pops out, engages this big gear, this ring gear on the flywheel, and that turns the engine over. And as long as those teeth mesh nicely, the car starts up and doesn't make any awful noises. If some of those teeth on the flywheel are messed up, you'll get this... sound. It sounds like you're trying to start an engine that's already running.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
now,
exactly what it sounds
that
like.
Can happen just from normal use over 100,000 miles, which you have in the car. But it could also happen if somebody has tried to start the car with the engine running, which we know it couldn't be you, right, Rory?
Of course it wouldn't be me.
Of course it wouldn't be you.
But no, I've really never done that to my car. I doubt he's done it, but I will double check on that.
You think he'd admit it if he had done it?
He's very honest. He would probably admit it if directly questioned, he would admit it.
I mean, you could ask him if he's ever done that.
Yes.
And if he has.
It doesn't matter.
So here's my question. What do I do?
Well, you have 100,000 miles. Have you ever replaced the clutch?
No, I've never replaced the clutch.
Perfect.
I've never done anything.
Well, you're going to need a clutch any day. You're going to need a clutch any day now.
Okay.
And when you do...
Luckily.
Yeah. And when you do need that clutch, you will ask them to also replace the ring gear on the flywheel. You may have to buy a whole new flywheel. I don't know how Mazda sells it. But it's not a lot of money. And at some point, this is going to get so bad that you won't be able to start the car at all. You'll sit there and it'll go ring, 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 ring with every turn of the key.
And when that happens, it's time to do a clutch.
It's got nothing
to do with the clutch. But that's the excuse you're going to use
for
to replace the flywheel.
Okay, yeah, that's fair, although the replacing the clutch sounds a lot more expensive than just ignoring the flywheel.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, replacing the clutch is not much more expensive because in order to replace the flywheel, you have to take the clutch off.
Oh, so,
so the only additional cost in this whole process is the pieces for the clutch. The labor is exactly the same for both jobs.
Yeah, and it'll be some hundreds of dollars, but I wouldn't worry about it now.
No, because he'll pay for it.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm working on.
There you go.
That's it.
Good luck, Roy. I'm sure you're going to have a very long and happy marriage. I can tell that you're a reasonable person. And even if he did this to your car, you'll find a place in your heart to forgive him.
I don't know. Women aren't very good at that.
I don't know. Well, we'll see.
Thank you very much.
See you. Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, do you know what time it is now?
Time to ship the Fiat to Capri for the winter?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they took our advice.
And how much longer the cast has to stay on. So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Velda from Indiana. Remember Velda?
I do, because Velda was Mike Hammer's secretary in the Mickey Spillane novels.
Different Velda. Sorry.
Then I have no idea.
Well, this Velda called us last week. She and her hubby were the proud owners of an 88 Toyota truck.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I'm starting to remember.
Yeah. And they were at the end of their rope because it had been running funny for over a year.
When the truck is cold, when I've just started it up, it sputters, it bucks, it dies, it sends black smoke out of the tailpipe.
Sounds kind of like my brother.
My car, you mean?
When you.
And it smells like it's running really rich, you know, like you can smell gas.
Yeah.
And it, at times, backfires so loudly. I mean, it's like a gun. I mean, a couple of times I've actually thought that I've been shot. I've, you know, checked.
Really?
Just that loud.
Excellent.
And you've got to be careful not to drive your car around really old people. Don't drive near nursing homes or rehab centers or anything like that. You could bump people off left and right with this thing.
Well, it's nice to know that at least we gave her some useful advice.
But were we able to figure out what was wrong with her truck?
Well, you pulled an answer out of your hat. You told her to check something called the AAP diaphragm.
Yeah, you know, it's all coming back, and it was the one and only thing I remembered about these old trucks. Well, let's see how we did. Velda, are you there?
Hi, you guys.
Well, look, before you fill us in, is it true that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk?
It is absolutely true.
And that the answer you're about to give us has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the set of noise-canceling headphones we sent you and all of your neighbors?
No influence.
Okay. With trepidation, I'll ask, was it the AAP diaphragm?
Yes, you've got some really good stuff in that hat. It was.
Wow!
And it was running like the good old truck within 24 hours. After I talked to you guys, I relayed everything to my husband. He'd never heard of an AAP diaphragm, but as you suggested, he looked in his service manual. There it was.
There it was.
Yep, he called around to the different parts stores, found a carburetor rebuild kit for $36.
Uh-huh.
And so he has lots of extra gaskets and stuff like that.
Oh, he'll be needing them sooner or later.
Yeah. But he got the diaphragm, changed it out, and, I mean, the old diaphragm didn't look bad, but we held it up to a light, and you could see just this little pinprick.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
Yep. And it's wonderful. And you saved us probably hundreds of dollars, because had we taken it to somebody, they probably would have fixed our problem by putting in a new carburetor.
Yeah.
And that was really the direction in which my husband was heading, and he had called to check on rebuilt carburetors, and they were going to be like $400.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we could tell from your description that he needed guidance.
Yes. He was on the periphery, as you suggested.
He was ready to jump.
But, we are just so appreciative. Thank you so much.
Well, that's great.
Well, once a month we get a right answer.
Well,
in spite of ourselves.
You guys are just saints. I mean, I think you're just Saint Click and Saint Clack.
I can see Tommy's halo from here.
Oh, yeah.
The patron saints of troubled car owners everywhere.
Troubled cars. Exactly.
See you, Velda.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chump.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or you can call and, why wait, stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Wasn't the one and only piece I remember from those old Toyota trucks was that AAP diaphragm.
Really?
Sure enough.
That, you pull that out of your nose, so to speak.
Hello, you're on Car Talk. Hello, who's there?
My name is Michael. I live in Miami, Florida, but I was born and raised in Limerick, Ireland. Thought you'd like to know.
Oh, hi, Michael.
Yes, indeed.
And where in Florida are you from?
Miami.
Oh, Miami.
First thing I'd like to do is thank you for a problem you solved for me about 20 years ago.
Ah.
I didn't call you. Somebody else did.
Ah.
And you told him what to do, and I did the same thing, and it worked.
Great.
Beautiful.
So what's going on today?
What's going on today is that I have a two-year-old Mazda 3. I have put on it a total of, and I just checked this morning, 5,643 miles. I have gotten different advice from two mechanics, contradictory advice. One of them tells me that I should take it out and drive it every couple of weeks or so at high speed for maybe a half hour or more, just to let it do its thing, I suppose. The other fellow tells me that's not necessary with present-day cars. I can just drive it the way I have been driving it. This car has never been on a long trip. Still there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, we're listening with rapt attention here. We're trying to get all the deep.
You mean you do stop talking sometimes?
Well, I do. My brother never stops.
He thought the line had gone dead.
Since I'm from Limerick, would you like to hear a good Limerick?
Sure, yes, of course.
And it's perfectly suitable for every. Listen carefully.
Okay.
The Limerick is furtive and mean. You must keep her in close quarantine, or she runs to the slums, where she quickly becomes disorderly, drunk, and obscene.
Of course. That's right. Limericks always have to be watched. You never know what people are going to do to them.
Anyway, back to my problem.
Yeah.
Back to your problem. Well,
I would say do exactly what the second guy told you.
The second guy's right for the right reason, too. I mean, modern cars, because they're fuel-injected and have all kinds of controls to make sure that the least amount of gas gets used during the warm-up mode and when the engine is warmed up, you don't have to take these things out and blow the carbon out.
See, the first guy was thinking about cars as they were made about 20 years ago with carburetors.
Uh-huh.
But you don't have a car that was made 20 years ago. You got a car that was made a couple of years ago. And the second guy is absolutely right.
I have a related question.
Yeah.
One of them tells me I can go at least 5,000 miles without changing oil. The other says, no, 3,000.
Well, you know,
what kind of driving do you do? Mostly short distances.
Very short distances.
Now, I would go with the guy that says 3,000, believe it or not, because If you were driving normal kind of drive, don't forget, it's taken you 2 years to do 6,000 miles.
Right.
You know, so at this rate, you'd be doing an oil change a year.
Yeah.
And even that might not be often enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but at the very least, I would do one every 3,000 miles.
Okay, so I've had one already. I'll do another number around 6,000.
Now, who gave you that advice, guy number one or number two?
No, I think it was guy number two who gave me the 5,000 advice.
Well, that's good. One of them is right one time, and the other guy is right the other
right
time.
Out.
Just like us.
Michael, well, I wish you the very best, and we'll see you soon.
We'll hear from you soon.
All right.
Or yeah. I'll hear from you.
All right. Yeah. If you have any more limericks, send them along.
Okay. Now I can send real limericks.
Yeah, yeah. Send us the real thing.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. See you, Michael.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Hey, time for us to take another little break. You know, step outside and get a little fresh air.
No, I don't care about fresh air.
Obviously. That's why I want you to step outside so I can get some.
Well, when we come back, we'll tell you about a marketing faux pas.
And we'll take more of your calls, so don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
Well, the seats are ripped and the gears are stripped. The brake lines leak in the trunk. It reeks in the radio. Ain't played for weeks and weeks. Yeah, the lights are buzzing and the paint's all rusted. The windshield's cracked and it's smoking.
smoking black and even clicking clack said, don't bother calling back. Please steal my car. It won't be hard. It won't get you far. I'm not without your credit card. Please steal my car. It won't be hard. It won't get you far.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from sales of our field guide to the Pigeons of Harvard Square from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide and proud supporter of NPR music podcasts at PabstBlueRibbon.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness and a reminder that switching radio stations increases your chances of an accident.
See, we always told you not to flip.
More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
sitforless.com, selling all colors of the Herman Miller Aeron chair online, including the new color, True Black. Sitforless.com. And
the Union of Concerned Scientists, a science-based nonprofit working for a healthy environment and a safer world. Hybrid vehicle comparisons are at hybridcenter.org.
And even though Ira Flatel heaves a Category 5 stink bomb into our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars? Car repair? And poor proofreading.
We found this in the back of Consumer Reports on a page they call Goofs, Glitches, and Gutches. It's an ad for a company named Thompson Gale Business eSolutions. They're a publisher of reference databases and books for small businesses and even libraries. Listen to this carefully. You ready? The ad reads, "The only place success comes before preparation is in the dictionary." Listen again. "The only place success comes before preparation is in the dictionary." Isn't that good? And these guys make reference books. Success comes before preparation in the dictionary?
Well, they don't say which dictionary, right?
Good point, good point.
Well, speaking of preparation, the puzzler season. You know, I hate to, I guess it's a season, right?
I would have thought a month ago.
No. The season is almost upon us. So if you have any suggestions that might increase the puzzler's success rate, right, because we're always looking to improve the puzzler.
Certainly.
Feel free to send those puzzler suggestions along to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email them to my brother from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Kathy.
With a C or O? Oh, don't. Just tell me where you're from.
Kathy,
and I'll tell you.
Wait a minute, Kathy or Cassie?
Kathy.
Oh, Cassie. Oh, C-A-S-S-I-E.
Oh, no, with a T-H.
Oh, Kathy.
Oh, Kathy. Oh, okay. Now we got it.
Got it. Oh,
okay.
Thank God.
So
where are you from?
Where on the East Coast are you from?
Well, I'm in Western Massachusetts in Montgomery.
Where the heck is Montgomery, Mass?
I never heard of it.
It borders Huntington, Russell, Southampton, and Westfield.
Okay, now I know where you
are. Those are all towns I never heard of either.
Well, you don't really get to Montgomery unless you're going there because you have to take Montgomery Road, which doesn't go anyplace else.
So what's up?
I've been wanting to call you guys for the last 3 years about this problem. I have a 1987 Jeep Cherokee that I've owned for over 15 years, and I'm holding it together with triage tape.
Yeah.
My background is aircraft maintenance, but this is an environmental problem on board, and I'm electronics.
So
when I slide the temperature lever from left to right.
From cold to hot.
Cold to hot.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
The Jeep makes this noise like an aircraft coming in for a landing, and then a huge wham, and the whole front end shakes. It goes, bang. I described this problem to a mechanic friend of mine,
yeah.
And we were out fishing in the wilds of Middlefield, and I described this to him. I said, Joe, this is what happens. He says, what you are describing cannot possibly happen from the action you're going to take. I said, watch this.
Watch this. Right.
When I slid the lever, he grabbed his seat. Holy expletive deleted. Don't do that again while we're in the middle of nowhere.
Really?
And all this noise seems like it's coming like right from in front of you.
Yeah, it's like you've just run over a 10-foot alligator completely blocking your lane on Alligator Highway.
Yeah.
It shakes the whole front end, and I have learned to slow down, and like to a crawl, before I change the temperature in the cockpit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so let me get this right. If it starts doing it, you go back to cold, does the noise go away?
Oh, gee, I never tried that. Once I
you didn't?
That would
be the first thing I would have tried. And you,
wow.
So then when it's once it does this, you say you slow down.
Well, before I do it, I slow down because now I know. The first time it happened, I was going at a pretty good clip, and when the whole Jeep shook, I decided not to do that anymore at high speed.
So you could actually feel it in the steering wheel?
Yeah, the whole front end, kablam! It's the wildest thing. I can't imagine.
Kathy, this is the most interesting question we've ever had.
What do you do out there in Montgomery? What do you do for a living, Kathy?
Well, I'm retired from the United States Air Force, 27 years, and I used to be an engineer. So
during your tenure in the Air Force, did you have any occasion to encounter UFOs?
I don't know. I'm thinking that UFO might be a chipmunk that is somehow blocking a suction, a compression.
Jeez. Wow. So you're going from cold to hot.
In the heat mode, yes.
Yeah. In the heat mode. You don't have to be in the defrost mode.
No, it has to be the heat mode.
To be in the heat mode.
I think that might be a good clue.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not so sure.
What if I drive it to wherever you are and have you take it for a test drive? I'll show you.
Yeah, well, we can certainly do that.
I'd love to get in it.
We'll be done with the show in about half an hour. So you So let's go back. Once it does this, blah, 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 all this business, you've slowed down so you've minimized the effect of it.
Exactly.
You can then speed up to 50, 60 miles an hour and you're okay?
Yes.
And if you turn the heat off and then turn it back on again?
Well, I haven't tried that.
You gotta.
Kathy, you've got to, in the interest of science here, you've got to experiment with this.
You're right, but I'm trying to make the Jeep laugh.
Well, my first reaction was that, in fact, you are overreacting.
Oh, no.
And that what was happening was when you turned the thing to heat, a blend door was impinging upon the blower motor fan.
That's exactly.
A what door?
You have a blend door in your heater, which allows more
air. Which blends hot and cold air.
Okay. And this, as you move that lever from cold to hot, it opens a door which allows the cold air that's in your passenger compartment to get sucked in through the heater by the heater blower and pushed through the heater core, so it blows hot air out into the passenger compartment. If that blend door is being somehow impinged upon by the blower motor fan, it'll make this blah, 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 blah. It'll make an awful noise, but it won't affect the way the thing steers.
Well, no, not the steering. It just shakes. I can feel it through the steering wheel when the slam happens. But that sounds very logical. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, but you ought to be able to get it to do it. See, you shouldn't be able to diminish it by slowing down.
No.
And you ought to be able to get it to do it even if you're not moving.
It doesn't diminish by slowing down. It just makes me feel safer when the huge noise is happening.
Oh, so it's still the same. Oh, so I think that the problem is entirely in your heater. I guess we misunderstood the severity of it. I was too fixated on the UFO thing.
I was too.
Your whole being had been overtaken by aliens.
Well, there's not really much of a chance that I'm going to be repairing it. I'll be retiring it, you know.
Well, this might be easy to fix.
Is it?
Yeah, it might be easy to fix. You need someone to actually, you need to take it
Someone's
to a shop. Someone's
got
to
have the courage to stick his head under there.
Or his hand, but anyway, someone has to put his hand on the heater box and find out if, in fact, that's where the vibration is coming from. And it certainly is. And there's probably a screw loose someplace. We know that, I guess. Never mind. I mean, there's probably a screw loose someplace that's causing this thing, this blend door, to hit the fan.
All right.
That's what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anytime you want to come over, come over.
Okay.
You'll find my brother will be in his kitchen drinking coffee. He'll be happy to take a test drive. See you, Kathy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Chris. I'm calling from Spokane, Washington.
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, well, I have got a 1995 Toyota Tacoma, and it's a 5-speed manual. And, you know, normally when you start a manual, you push in the clutch, turn the key, and the car goes.
Yeah.
Well, my truck has stopped turning on with the clutch. And I have a clutch cancel button on my console that I have to push now in order for me to start my truck.
Oh, those, when you, it used to be that when you stepped on the clutch, you would turn the key and the engine would crank over. Wah, 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 wah.
Right.
And that stopped working.
Correct.
Okay, so now you have
so that when you turn the key, nothing happens.
If I push the clutch in and turn the key, nothing happens.
Okay.
But my truck has a clutch cancel where you can have the gear shift in neutral, push the button, and then you can turn the car over without even touching the clutch.
Right, it's an override.
Right.
But it won't allow you to start it unless it's in neutral, is that correct?
Right.
Yeah, have you ever tried starting it in first?
I wouldn't do that to the truck.
Well, that's the reason they put these devices in, these lockouts on the clutch pedal to prevent dopes, not present company excluded, of course, to prevent most dopes from starting the thing without their foot on the clutch, but the thing in gear.
Oh, I see.
Which you could do to cars of yesteryear. I mean, in years ago, you could inadvertently start your engine while the thing was in gear.
Well, what I did first is I checked all the fuses, and then I tried troubleshooting it back if there was like a clutch plate behind the actual pedal, and I can't find anything without actually pulling the dashboard off and looking if there's like a wire cut.
Oh, there's a switch up under the dash that is actuated by the clutch pedal.
Okay.
And that switch has two wires going to it. Can you get your head under the dash?
While you're stepping on the pedal?
No, while your brother steps on the pedal. No, are you large in size, Chris?
I'm bulky.
Bulky.
I have a 48-inch chest, and I can bench 225.
Oh, okay. So I'll ask the question again. Do you think you can put your head underneath the dash?
I could probably manipulate myself to where I could get underneath there.
Would you be able to get out afterwards?
Maybe not.
Well, if you think you can get out, you want to stick your head under there and leave enough room so that you can, with your hand, with one hand at least, operate the clutch pedal at least a little bit, and you'll see that switch.
Okay.
There's a little rod coming out of the switch. You'll see it move. You may not see it move because it may be stuck. And what you need is to replace that switch in all likelihood.
Oh, okay.
And the way you can verify it is to take the two wires off of it and stick them together. And when you stick those two wires together, you will essentially be putting the switch in the closed position, and now it will start without stepping on the clutch. It'll start just like it does with that override button.
All right, so that shouldn't be hundreds of dollars.
Oh, no. It's like probably
$29.95.
$29.95 plus tax. You have tax in Washington?
I think we do.
Okay, there you go.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
See you. Thanks for your
call.
Good
luck, Chris.
Bye-bye. And don't get stuck in there. Grease yourself up before you go under.
I will. Be nice and lubed.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you could get yourself in an awful position.
You could.
Going underneath there is so dangerous.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi.
Good. Who's this?
My name is Aaron, and I am from Phoenix, Arizona.
No kidding.
And I've got a little bit of a predicament.
Yeah.
I've got a 2007 Saturn Aura, which we love, but the seat heaters come on automatically when my husband drives the car.
Really?
And we don't need seat heaters turning on when it's 110 degrees outside.
So when he puts, is he a lard butt?
He's quite a bit bigger than me, yes.
And well, how big is he? How much does he weigh?
He weighs about 250.
Yeah.
And it's only when he's sitting in one of the seats that it turns on automatically.
And it makes no difference which seat he's in?
No, it does not.
So, but
did this just start happening?
No, it's from the day we took it off the lot.
So the switches for the heated seats are on the console, right?
No, they are actually on the seat, on the outside edge of it.
Oh, they're on the outside edge, and somehow his weight
is turning
his girth is grounding out. You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
is completing the circuit to ground just like the switch does. In other words, if electricity goes from the battery to the seat element, and then from the seat element to the switch, and what makes the thing work is grounding or closing the circuit on the switch so the circuit gets completed. By his sitting in the seat, even when the thing is turned off, he's grounding the switch.
He's an automatic switch for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe a simple matter of somehow insulating the connections. But I would try. This is interesting.
It is.
I took it to the dealership.
Yeah.
And the guy drove it at the dealership and said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. It didn't happen to me.
Well,
and
no.
I didn't really want to say, well, you're just not.
Well, was he a
enough.
Two-ton Tony like your husband? I mean, he's
No, he was a smaller guy.
He didn't understand.
He didn't understand, but you
need to go back to him.
You need a heavier person.
You got to go back to him and tell him it's a big guy who's closing the circuit somehow, and you guys got to find out how.
So we're not making it up.
Because you're not making it up, of course.
You wouldn't make. Now, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Is there an indicator on the dash or any place that tells you when the heated seats are on?
No, there's not. There's just a light that lights up on the side of the seat. Yeah.
And is that light lit up when the seat is on?
It lights up, but he never looks till it gets hot.
Sure.
But it is it is lit up, even though the switch is off.
Yep, it lights up. Yep.
Well, if they can't figure it out, at the very least, you can take the switch out.
We can.
You can the switch comes out. You can take it out and verify our theory. That, in fact, that somehow or another, his weight on the thing is closing the circuit. It's either deforming the switch or it's grounding it somehow. But it's got to be something like that.
Yeah, and these guys will figure it out.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Because we will never use it. I promise you, I'll never use a seat heater.
Well, you could, by the way, take the fuse out.
Take the fuse out, and you don't have to worry about it at all.
Right. I mean, it may have the stereo and the sunroof and a few other things on it, but if it does, you'll have to get creative. But if it's just the heated seats on that circuit, sure, take the fuse out.
That's perfect.
You'd never need heated seats in Phoenix, right?
No, never.
Yeah.
It's kind of silly.
It is kind of silly.
Yeah, well, if they can't solve it, take the fuse out.
I will, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
All right, Aaron.
My
see
husband's happier.
All right.
Thank you.
Get that fuse out. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug, you can run, but you can't hide, Mayor. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Mashpee Iced Tea, French Brie, Chutney, Kimchi, Chablis, Sushi, Blini, Parsley, Yakgi, and High C Guilt-Free Lunch Brie is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed. Our martial arts trainer is Anita DeGroin. Our windsurfing instructor is Eileen Wendy Windblows. Our alignment expert is Lou Sagusi. Our Appalachian chef is Everett Possum. Our undergarment inspector is I.C. London. Our anger management coach is Kirsten Hollard. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is your Louis Dewey, known to the professors wearing tweed flip-flops in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 736, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, a great way to get rid of your used car.
Just call me and I'll be there in no time to pick it up.
What, you getting tired of shopping at the junkyard?
They want too much money. $50 for a car? Come on, that's ridiculous.
Actually, we're talking about the Car Talk vehicle donation program. You donate your old car and your favorite public radio station benefits.
You can check out details this week at cartalk.com. Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
KNN, providing an ecological alternative to disposable air filters designed to last the lifetime of each car. More information at knfilters.com. And
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness with a warning for people who eat greasy double cheeseburgers while driving.
Hey, I don't do that. I get the triples.
More information at Allstate.com. Are you in good hands? Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheam & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though squirrels start storing earplugs for the winter whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.